Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to AVIVASA Hemiklinik Vihaya 2015 third quarter financial results conference call and webcast. I now hand you over to Mustafa Firat Kuruca, CFO, and Turul Güneci, Investor Relations Division Manager. Sirs, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. This is Firat Kuruca. I would like to welcome you all to our third quarter earnings call. Thanks for taking the time to join this call, given the busy agenda in the Turkish market following the elections. First off, I would like to wish that it really pays off well for the Turkish economy overall. Anyway, I would like to kick off with the Q3 results. If you can follow from the material that we have published, on page two, we see the three distinct business lines that we have. On the pension business side, we had been having a pretty good year, and Q3 was along the same lines as well. Pension business has grown by about 34% year-on-year as of Q3. This is better than the market average, and we have to note that as of June, we have moved into number one position in terms of assets under management market share in the pension side. We are having a pretty good year. In terms of the technical profit from this business line, we have seen a growth of around 25% year-on-year. Having said that, on the life protection side, which is not having the best year, if you like, we have had no growth in terms of Q3 2015 versus Q3 2014. This is on the back of the stagnant credit life business that we are having. Our bank insurance partner has a relatively more conservative stance in terms of the loan growth relative to the rest of the market. Therefore, we have actually a mixture of different stories in terms of life protection. We have certain segments that grew significantly in excess of 50%, whereas we have a credit life segment that shrank by almost 20%-30%. On the back of it, we have ended up with no growth compared to previous year, but we are expecting this trend to reverse in the medium term. This is a temporary hiccup, if you like, in this business line. Similar to gross written premium, we have seen no growth on the technical profit, actually just a 1% growth at about 76 million TL of net technical profit on this side. On the personal accident side, a relatively smaller business line, but have seen significant growth in terms of profitability. We have year-on-year around 2% growth. Again, almost no growth here, but the profitability has benefited from some reserve releases on this business line that we had, especially in the first half of the year. This translated into the 62% growth, around 6 million TL of extra profit emerged from that business line. Overall, on page three, we see the key performance indicators in terms of growth and financial metrics. As we have seen before, the AUM growth was around 34% and no growth on total protection gross written premiums. Whereas our total technical profit has registered a growth of around 16% in total. The expense ratio continued to decline to around 10%, if you like, which is a significant reduction from the same period last year, around 3.5 percentage points decline. Profit for the period has reached 88 million, a 27% growth versus the same period last year, and the return on equity remained unchanged from the half year at about 33% on an annualized basis. The solvency ratio was above 200% again, following on the dividend payment earlier this year. We had temporarily fallen before 200, but we are again above 200% level here. And in terms of embedded value metrics, these are still half-year numbers here. We are seeing around 14% and 17% growth on value of new business and embedded value, respectively. To get more into detail, I would move on to page 6, where we see our operating leverage still continuing. We have seen overall 16% growth in our income streams from the three business lines that we have, and 14% growth in expenses. There's a 2% difference between the income and the expenses that has generated, again, a good operating leverage at the bottom line, generating around 21% EBIT growth, if you like, as of Q3. If you look at page 7, we see how our results come together. As you can see, as of Q3 2015, we are seeing pension technical profit dominating our technical profitability. Given that the life protection has registered no growth this year. So, and coupled with the personal accident growth of 62%, overall the technical profit growth was 16%, and the expense growth was 14%. We have seen a good investment income this year so far compared to previous year. This is on the back of significant currency valuation on our foreign currency book, plus relatively compared to previous year, relatively high interest rates that we have been enjoying throughout the year. So as a result, our bottom line as of Q3 year to date has grown 27% year on year. On the next page, actually, we can also have a look at how the discrete quarter three results were. We have seen our discrete quarterly results also grow by about 43% in terms of the bottom line. So this was a very good quarter three compared to previous year's quarter three. This is on the back of 16% growth on total technical profit, whereas the expense growth was only 9% year or quarter over quarter, resulting at a significantly more geared operating leverage with 34% EBIT growth year on year. Again, Q3 discrete was a very good quarter in terms of financial income. As you can see, it was 57% growth quarter on quarter on Q3. So I will not spend too much time on the product lines per se, because they are along the first half. We can look at the profitabilities briefly on page 9. Pension technical profitability growth of 25% was mainly driven by fund management income growth of around 32%. It has grown significantly, considering that our AUM grew by about 34%. This is not surprising. So on the next page, on page 10, life protection, yes, we see almost no growth on gross written premiums. Some very slight growth in terms of earned premiums, resulting at around level technical profitability that indicate around 60% technical margin. That is along the previous year technical margin as well. On page 11, we see the personal accident technical profitability. We have, although we have seen no gross written premium growth of with only 2% growth, the earned premiums growth in that business line was around 32%. Coupled with some reserve releases, this has resulted at 62% growth on technical profitability. As you see, the technical margin has increased from 40% to around 50%. This is mainly driven by the lower claims ratio that we have been experiencing due to the reserve releases on the book. On a normalized level, we should see the technical margins at about 40-45% or so going forward. In terms of embedded value, actually we haven't fully disclosed the Q3 embedded value metrics. We have here first half metrics still. We will in due course calculate the all embedded value metrics at the end of the year with restated numbers. As you know, we are expecting there's an upcoming price changes beginning of next year, and we will bring in the impact of those changes into our VNB and embedded value metrics at our year-end disclosure for your information. I think one particularly important slide on the pack is on page 19. This is showing the segments within our protection business. You know, protection business is rather important for our profitability, as you can imagine. And here on the middle column, on page 19, we see a total company growth rate of 0%, whereas when we look within our product lines, within our segments, we see that the bank issuance credit-linked business, that make around 50% of our business, has shrunk by about 17%, and we were able to compensate for the shortfall by an 8% growth in bank issuance non-credit linked businesses, and an extremely very good performance on the direct sales force and agency network with 60% growth. Actually, we have done a lot of activities to compensate the negative impact of credit linked business, and going forward, once the credit linked business reverses, along with our bank issuance partners' policies, we should see a significantly improved growth rates given the actions that we have been taking in other segments. This is an important parenthesis, if you like, that I wanted to mention. So on this note, actually, I would like to conclude the presentation and would like to open the forum for any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Aruk Halif, Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Thank you very much for taking my question. I have two areas, really. Firstly, on the upcoming regulatory change, can you tell us, you know, I presume the embedded value impact is going to be negative. Can you give us some idea of how to think about that, you know, how bad it could be, or are there offsetting factors? But also in terms of earnings, you did talk at your last presentation a little bit about the kind of things that are changing, but how should we start modeling this in our earnings? You know, it sounds immediately upfront good, but later on, you know, potentially less good. So what is the impact that we should have in the next 5 years in our earnings? Thank you. Sorry, that's question one. And question two was, on your expense jaws that you have, so your revenue is growing faster than general expenses, at what point do you think that stops being a factor? So can we continue to assume a, you know, 2 to 3 point gap between revenues and general expenses? Thank you.
All right. Okay. First of all, the impact of new pension prices. Well, of course, this is a very important matter for the next year. Actually, we have been able to calculate the impact. Of course, we know the impact of those price changes on both our IFRS and embedded value metrics. Having said that, we could only calculate the gross impact at the moment, and we are in the process of taking management actions, including possible revisions of our commission levels or in certain cases even expenses. So therefore, we would like to conclude those actions and then reflect them on to the onto the embedded value valuations before we disclose them. This is why we haven't reflected them onto our VNB metrics or embedded value metrics as yet. Having said that, yes, the gross impact can take out almost 20-25% of the value in the pension metrics. Having said that, this is the gross impact. So this could be offset by management actions in the form of reduced commission levels or reduced expenses, and we are preparing that in the meantime. In terms of expense efficiencies, yes, this is a very important matter as well. We have seen a significant reduction in our expense ratio this year, below double digit actually, but this was backed by a significant one-off at the top line. Having said that, the underlying trend in the expenses is naturally, expense ratio is a negative, has a negative trend. We should see, as we build more and more scale, the expense efficiencies will be more and more important, and Aviva is one of the biggest companies in the sector, so will benefit from expense efficiencies more and more in the future. In terms of the earnings, yes, actually there are earnings growth in terms of bottom line has been in excess of 20% over the past 4 or 5 years, and our mid to long-term outlook is at those, our expectations are at those levels, given the nature of our business, because we have a natural growth in our pension profitability. Having said that, this will be impaired, if you like, by the next year's regulatory intervention on the pricing side. So in 2016, it won't be the easiest year in terms of bottom line growth, but of course our expectation is to absorb as much of the impact as possible. So we'd like to reflect the impact of pension price changes to our earnings. We'd like to keep it at a minimum if possible. Yet we have chosen not to issue any guidance, neither for this year and next year, before making sure that we have our actions fully prepared.
So just to return on that, if I may, you clearly think that you can address quite a lot of that gross impact. So I remember you talking about your ability to renegotiate commissions, for example. So,
yes.
I mean, do you think you could fully offset it, or do you think it's going to be just, you know, some offset? If you give some kind of thinking behind that, that would be useful.
Yes. Well, actually, it's a trade-off between going for the best value that we can get versus keeping our products still attractive for our agents, including bank insurance partners, right? So, I mean, one way of taking an action will be an immediate shocking reduction in commission rates, either for bank insurance or other channels, whereby your sales volumes might take a hit. So do you want to run this risk or not? So I think as a company, we have to be careful about the actions in terms of its impact on the bottom line as well as the top line, because we need the growth to sustain our profitability growth. So I think we cannot hope to reflect the whole impact to our intermediaries. I think most probably it will be shared between our distributors and our company, and we will try to find other ways of making up the difference, if you like, by cross-selling, by upselling, by managing our expenses better. So it's not a straightforward solution, unfortunately, but I think it's the right way for having a healthy distribution model versus a healthy profitability for pensions.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Aruk Halif, Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I thought I'd have a question after somebody else. Apologies. My question was simply on corporate pensions reform. That really is the big promise. That's the really big opportunity, in my view. But you've not been able to give much clarity on that, and obviously the other changes are bigger and more complex. When do you think we're going to have that as a potential growth option? Because that feels to me like something that could offset a lot of your EV impact.
Yes. Well, any corporate pension reform in the form of, let's say, auto-enrollment will significantly increase the market potential, both in terms of volume and in terms of value, surprisingly. Although the prices might be low in any corporate pensions, the overall business dynamics are favorable in terms of profitability. Okay, having said that, now our initial expectation for auto-enrollment to be legislated for 2016, but having lost a lot of effort on the price-related regulation, plus thereafter coming into the, let's say, election time zone, we have missed this opportunity. But ruling parties and now the majority winner of the last elections, they have in the election program a commitment on auto-enrollment. Probably after forming a government plus making critical appointments on the Treasury and the like, they will start working on the reform agenda on many fronts, including auto-enrollment.
And do you expect the Treasury appointments may be, you know, supportive, therefore you could go back to the old team?
I think they will be supportive, because overall both the any opposition party or the ruling party, they have all been backing the pension reform, and they have seen that their pension decisions have started to pay off. We have seen an increase in the private savings in the country, so they like it, and it has proven popular with the public. So I think they will continue pushing for the private pensions forward, and so far far, anyone that you talk to, Treasury or the Insurance Division, are very supportive of it, including Capital Markets Board. I mean, all the economic bodies are in favor of it. So I don't, I wouldn't expect a significant U-turn on that attitude, or any U-turn, that is.
Okay, thank you again. Thank you.
Yeah. So just to conclude on this, I don't expect anything would happen for 2016 on auto enrollment side. If anything, it might happen in 2017. I would give it more than 50% chance that the government will be pushing for this reform throughout 2016. But if not in 2017, maybe a year later, but I would certainly hope that they would go for it.
Thank you.
There was a question as regards a guidance, but I think I touched this point earlier. So far, we are not issuing any guidance, given the uncertainties on our actions as yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding.
Right. Maybe I shall make some closing remarks. The question is, could Ayvasa be able to expand its earnings in 2016? Yeah, I think it's a rather valid question. Now, in 2016, there will be three key, let's say, factors that will impact our profitability growth. One is, the first question is, will our pension earnings grow? I can certainly say that we don't expect a significant growth on our pension earnings. Actually, there is a 25 and 30% organic expected growth in pensions in a usual year. But because next year we'll see the price impact on our pension taking profit, so I would expect little or no technical profitability growth on pensions. On our expenses, yeah, I think we will aim to grow it along with the inflation, contrary to our track record. Our track record shows around double the inflation expense growth, whereas next year I think it will push on a lot of fronts to manage our expenses better and to maybe to reduce the growth rate to single digits or maybe even to inflation levels, as we have done in Q3 this year. We have seen around only 9% growth quarter over quarter, so we would like to keep it at that level. I think this we can do, and we can say with confidence. The third one will be what happens in life and personal accident technical profitability. I think this is the million-dollar question, if you like. So what happens on that front will be partly dependent on our bank insurance partners' stance as regards the credit market. If we see that reversing positively, in the positive way, I mean, we can enjoy a very good profitability growth in terms of life protection. Of course, any decision on the credit market may depend on the political and economic certainties and stability in the local market. And I believe yesterday's election may prove pivotal in that front. So if the markets move positively, we can see credit growth on our bank insurance partner as well. So I think what will determine next year's earnings growth will be what happens in our life protection business, is what I can tell you. If we see significant growth in life protection, as we had done in the past, we had seen 40-50% growth years. In 2012-2013, we had seen significant growth in that segment. So if it turns out to be such such a year, I think we can enjoy a good bottom line as well, despite the challenges on pension prices, and possibly another challenge could be on the investment income. You know that we had a very good year in terms of investment income. That 2016 will be just as good. We'll see.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes our conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.
Thank you all for joining. Thank you.